Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 159. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we are on top of our shit this week because me and Chris both actually got to see Ready Player One the day of recording. So,
yeah,
we are seeing a movie that just came out and, you know, will not be old by the time you hear this.
Yes.
We're going to start with that, the big new film. Ready Player One, directed by Steven Spielberg, based on the novel by Ernest Cline. I guess written for the screen by Ernest Cline and Zach Penn. So this movie it's a sci-fi movie. It's like a Steven Spielberg, like adventure movie about like a dystopian future where everyone is living in virtual reality, essentially. And the creator of this virtual reality platform called Oasis, he has died and he has left a challenge for players in the Oasis, like three Easter eggs for them to find. And whoever gets all three of the Easter eggs gets control of the Oasis and, you know, essentially becomes a billionaire. That's the setup. There is our hero, who I don't even know the actor's name.
Ty Sheridan.
The guy. I don't even remember his name in the movie.
Wade.
Wade, okay, yeah. He is a young kid who lives in a place called the Stacks, which is like a ghetto. And he, you know, he's one of the better players, and he's trying to win this this challenge, and he goes it alone. And of course, there's a villain played by Ben Mendelsohn, who I didn't even know was in the movie. That was a nice surprise. And he's an evil corporate guy, and there's this evil corporation that acts as the antagonist throughout this film. Chris, what did you think of Ready Player One?
It's a fun visual spectacle, I think. Filled with like tons of like nostalgia references and to like 80s and 90s era films and movies. It's fun. It's a fun film. I think there's some like weak pieces with the characterization of some of the characters, like that. They rush through a lot of stuff, which you have to. I mean, it's a long movie. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. Like, but it feels like they just kind of like rush from set piece to set piece in some portions. Like, they don't ever really give the characters chance to grow a whole lot here.
There's not a lot of breathing room. I did not notice the running time. So near the end, I was like, hey, this has been going on a while, hasn't it? Like, I didn't look it up before going in, so I had no idea. It doesn't feel like a 2.5 hour movie. It moves.
Yeah, it's very well paced, very well designed. Like, it's fun. It's a fun film.
Yeah, I am in the same boat. I pretty much really loved this movie. It's the type of Spielberg movie that I like most, you know. Spielberg has kind of done all sorts of things, you know, anything from like Jaws to Schindler's List, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the last like 20 years or so, the ones I find most exciting is stuff like Minority Report or this. I just think he's at home doing a fun whiz-bang adventure movie. And I think stuff like The Post sometimes feels really flat. This movie doesn't feel flat to me. It feels like a fun Spielberg movie and him getting to like just make all sorts of crazy, insane references and nods to popular culture of the last 30 years or so. I mean, there, if you're a nerd like us, and if you love like pop culture in general, but even films, you're going to find something to smile at in this. And I get what you're saying, too, about I do think some of the characterizations are weak. I think the villain, you know, Ben Mendelsohn is an actor who is capable of great things, and he's getting put in these big budget movies, not giving a ton to do. He's in Star Wars as well, wasn't he? Or yeah, Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's capable of much more as a villain than what we get to see in these movies, but that wasn't really it's fine. There's a couple weak lines, I think, like corny lines, like the one that everyone's making fun of, and I think it is a pretty bad line where he's like, a fanboy knows a hater. Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, just in general, I really loved all the little references and shit in this. Like, just watching the movie, picking out little things. There's a sequence in the middle where they enter into a movie that I was pretty blown away by, and you could tell everyone in the theater really dug that part too. And then to the point where I'm like, how did they do this? And then they're playing the music from the movie.
Yeah, that whole sequence is phenomenal. Like it's actually a wonderful film. Like it just it hits the right notes and it's just it's super fun to be in.
It's one of those, it's going to be one of the most memorable moments of the year in terms of movie going for me, and I think it will come up in some sort of category when we're doing our year-end stuff. I mean, it's a fantastic sequence. I also really like all the challenges. I think they're clever. They fit. I without spoiling it, really liked what the last challenge is, because as soon as they started talking about our Atari games, I knew exactly where it was going, and I'm like, that's like a neat thing. It's a neat like nugget for people who are like us that really know video game history, but it's also like cool for people that maybe don't know that to like learn something about something that they didn't know. I don't know. Like it's just a fitting thing. And it kind of speaks to like some of the themes in the film, and just like creators wanting to leave their mark on their product or whatever, stuff like that. Trying not to spoil it, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I did like, while some of the characterizations are weak, I did like this cast for the most part. I really liked finding out who his one friend was, H. When you find out their actual identity and the actor who's playing them, I thought that was a nice little twist. I generally like this movie, and I'm kind of surprised by some of the hate being thrown at just Ready Player One in general, but whether it's the book or the movie. I saw some weird stuff about the film as well, but and I do want to touch on that, but anything else that you wanted to
I
before
mean,
that?
I think it's just it's a fun film. Like I don't really it's a fun adventure movie. Like it's a nice throwback to stuff that we used to get from Spielberg all the time, and we really haven't recently. And it's fun to see that he can still kind of get out there and do
It
that
doesn't
type
feel
of
like an old
stuff.
man's movie, I'll tell you
No,
that.
not
Like,
at all. Like
you wouldn't think it was the old man that directed this.
Like I mean, he
Aside from a
definitely,
few corny things.
yeah. Yes, there are some things that you're just like, it's a little bit groan worthy. It's, but I don't really blame that on Spielberg. I kind of blame that on like, Ernest Cline for like for as much as he kind of panders to this audience. Like he should also know that like that stuff is a little goofy. And have been like kind of advising to Spielberg, like, hey, no, maybe that doesn't work quite that this well here.
I mean, I have not read the book. I've seen some of the stuff that Ernest Cline has written. So, like, I saw a poem that he wrote that is, it's beyond embarrassing. Like, if I were him, I would
Cringeworthy,
try.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you know the poem I'm talking about, but it's
I
like
think I
really
have
fucking dumb.
caught pieces of it.
So I mean, it's not fair for me to say you've read the book and you've seen the film, but I almost feel like, if anything, Spielberg's cleaning up some of that shit and making it better here.
Yes, he very much so. Like the book is like when you watch this movie, it is definitely filled with references, but the way that Spielberg structures it, it doesn't feel like you're just bouncing from one reference to the next. And that's kind of what the book is. Like it's fun for what it is, but it really is just like, let me see how many references I can fit on like one page. Like, and here
And
it's like,
here, there's a ton of references here, but they're like, it's stuff in the background. It's just you going, oh, there's Freddy Krueger, or there, no, there's this, or this is that. You know, like,
right.
there's the Iron Giant. Like, it's not like fetishizing its knowledge of references, which I feel like that's probably what Ernest Cline does in the book a little
Yeah,
more.
like the book is definitely more, it's like kind of like, hey, look at how much shit I know and look at how big of a nerd I am. Like, and it, some of the book has definitely some issues with where it just, and even the movie to a certain extent has those same kind of points where it's a, you know, it's very typical male, you know, power fantasy. But it's kind of what this is. Like it's kind of that type of movie.
But it doesn't feel, you know, and maybe people would disagree with me, but it doesn't feel toxic to me or anything. It just feels
No,
like, let's have some fun, you know?
and they do some things to clean up Artemis and Samantha, her character in the book that like that whole section where she's in the loyalty center isn't in the book. That all is Wade. Like he is in the loyalty center. He's like broken in to kind of to get on the inside and get access that IOI has. Like so they like kind of cut that piece out and give her a bigger part to play. And I think it plays a little bit better because of that. Like it's not all just like, oh, well, you know, Wade is the, you know, he's the pop culture ninja. He knows everything. And like, you know, they have some lines that point to that, but he's not the only hero here.
Yeah, a lot of the message is he needs a clan. He needs to clan up.
Yeah, that's definitely where it ends up, so.
Okay. I guess people could find a way to hate anything. So I'm gonna read you a take from David Chen of Slash Filmcast. And let me know what you think. He said,
Sure.
if the movie Ready Player One was released 10 to 20 years ago, I believe it would help define a generation of geeks. But in a post-Gamergate world, its plot glorifies the worst aspects of nerd gatekeeping and shrugs off social dysfunction with a reverent attitude that feels tone deaf. And I'll read you his follow-up tweet to that. He said, growing up, I remember being inculcated with the idea that there was something pure, even sacred, about fandom. It hasn't been till the last few years that many of us have seen how fandom can be weaponized to bring out the worst in people. What say you, Chris?
I mean, that's a take for sure. And yeah,
It's a
like
take, and
there
yeah,
is
go ahead.
toxic fandom. Like there that is a thing. And but I also like I don't like this idea of like anybody that's a that is a fan of things like that we demonize them now. Like I don't get it. Like I like liking things and I like being part of a group that likes the same things. It's you know when you are like no you on the outside can't like those things as well then like that's an issue but I don't think that this movie portrays that at all like
I don't think this movie has.
I don't think it has that bad bone in it like
I don't think it has anything negative to say. I guess you could maybe pick at its like it's kind of male-female relations in it, I guess, a little bit. Like, maybe you could pick
sure.
at it from a feminist viewpoint, although she's not a damsel in distress or anything in this. I mean, yeah, she gets put in the whatchamacallit center, the loyalty center, but she's very capable on her own as well.
Right, and ultimately, like, you know, they rescue her and she chooses to stay behind to help them. Like she, like almost like I don't need to be rescued. Like I can do this on my own.
And I
type of
don't
thing.
feel I find there are times with David Chen where I'm just like, dude, you're toeing the line here. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and this is one of those times where I'm like, I don't feel like just because a movie is a celebration of pop culture and specifically video games that it has to address Gamergate. Like, it could leave that stuff aside, which is what it does, and it will out, you know, it'll outstand or it'll be around longer than people remember Gamergate. Like, I don't feel like that's the job that this movie has to tackle. The movie's not trying to say anything too deep, really. It's just a fun movie
No,
that's
it's
filled
a
with a bunch
movie
of
about like
references.
it's a movie about a loner like finding that he needs friends to succeed and ultimately that maybe us being plugged in all the time isn't a good thing.
That's kind of that's the messages that it sends you away with. You know, hey, sometimes you have to work with others and sometimes you need to unplug from the internet. I think those are both perfectly fine messages.
They're not bad. Like they're not bad things to like strive for.
I don't think a popcorn movie that is just throwing a bunch of cool action scenes and awesome references at you really has to tackle Gamergate. I think he's stretching a little bit here. I mean, I guess, I mean, like you said, that is a take that you could have and say. And it celebrates the worst aspects of gaming culture. I guess what he's referring to is that, like, only the true fans or whatever. But what's going on in the movie is between people who genuinely enjoy something and a corporate entity trying to take it over. So to say that it celebrates the worst aspects of gaming culture because they're gatekeepers against this corporate identity, I think is again another stretch. I think it's an anti-corporate message. Like, it's not. I think sometimes people just they insert their politics too much into things where it isn't there, like or it doesn't necessarily belong.
Right, like I don't think that it belongs here. Like, I mean, I guess if you really want to dig down, yes, the people, the what is it, the High Five is what they end up calling themselves at the end, which is the group of heroes. Like, they are the most knowledgeable of like, everything for Halliday. In like and they've researched and figured all this stuff out, but it's not just them. Like everybody in the Oasis was striving for that. Like they just happened to get there first. They figured out the puzzle. Like it wasn't, I don't think there's any gatekeeping there.
Well, it's just about I at least what I'm assuming is like they're the true fans, and it's like I guess you could tease out some sort of criticism about that and Gamergate, but again,
I guess
I think you're
I
stretching. I think it's really an anti-corporate versus people who are true fan type thing is
yeah
what it's.
I think if you like if you want to dig down and look at it from that perspective, fine. Like it, take from it what you will. But
I don't agree. I just think. Yeah, they are the gatekeeper because this corporate fuck is coming in going, hey, I drink a tab and I play Robotron. And yeah, he's a douche and he should lose and they should be the gatekeepers over
right,
him. Like,
like what does David Chen want to
I
happen
don't
here?
I don't know.
That's really I mean, the story is of these like fans of games and like keeping things pure and innocent against like the Walmarts and Amazons of the world coming in and taking over everything.
And that's a perfectly fine, I would say, liberal message. Like, so I don't, I mean, I guess sorry that it didn't address Gamergate and everything else going on in the world, but I don't know.
It's a whimsical fantasy film. Like
yeah, it's fun.
it's a whimsical fantasy film that has a ultimately has a decent message. Like, work with others, disconnect, live in the real world every once in a while. That's it. Like
I'm still kind of processing it. You know, I literally just got out of seeing it, but for that sequence in the middle where they enter a movie for the Chucky reference,
the Chucky reference is great.
you know, there's a lot of things like that And then just like imagine, like, I'm not a Gundam fan or whatever, but there's like, if you're a Gundam fan, there's a moment for you in there. I really love this movie. I'm giving it 4 stars right now. I could see that score fluctuating though and going higher. So I thought it was a really fun time. I will see it again, probably not in the theater, but probably at home where we can pick out all the little references and stuff. It's a good time. I guess if you go in not expecting it to solve Gamergate, then you probably will have a good time too, I think. What say you, Chris?
Yeah, I think also at a four, probably like a lower end four, but yeah, I think I'm at a four. It's fun, like it's a fun musical film. Like, just go enjoy it for what it is. Don't try and read too deep into it.
With all that said, here's something I have not gotten to see yet, but you did, and that is another video game movie based on a video game series, Tomb Raider.
Yeah, saw the new Tomb Raider.
Kind of a reboot.
Yes, it stars Alicia Vikander as like new Lara. Like, so those that listen to our video game show or play games know that like Tomb Raider over the last 5 or 6 years went through a reboot of its own, where it's like a little bit more of a gritty, cinematic kind of take on the character, and that's what this is like. That's this Lara. It's a perfectly fine adventure film. Like, it is not gonna blow your socks off, but it's perfectly fine. Like, it's, I think Vikander does a good Lara Croft.
I think she's like, it's like perfect casting. She looks so much like she just looks right for the new Tomb Raider. Like, she looks like that reboot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you saw what some dickhead on Twitter said.
Oh,
Did you see the thing about her
better
boobs?
boobs, yeah.
I think it was like the Amazing Atheist, or I don't know what the guy's name is, but like he like said something about, yeah, her boobs are too small, and it went like crazy. People making fun of it for like at least a solid day. I think it's great. I mean, if you play video games and you actually know your shit, I think it's perfect casting for the reboot.
Yeah, and yeah, she's really good as Croft. It kind of bastardizes the remake storyline a bit. Like, it takes bits and pieces of it. It all takes place on an island, like off of Japan, in the Dragon's Triangle. I think that's what it's called. It all deals with Queen Himiko, which is this queen that that mythologically she had like powers or whatever, and they tie it a little more real world here. There's not like the mysticism and magic, but there is stuff dealing with there's a turn, I guess, and some people are going to be like, oh, what is that? Like, in fact, I saw someone like, why is there always zombies and everything? There's no zombies in this movie. Like, I don't know where people got that from. Like, there is a, there's a disease or a virus of some sort that turns people feral, but they are not like The Walking Dead. Nobody's coming back from the dead here. It's fine. It's like, it takes a little while to get going, because it has to reset her up as a character, as opposed to like the game just kind of like throws you right into it. So a lot of it takes place, probably a good half hour of the 2 hours of the movie takes place in like London.
Before she goes out on her like doomed voyage or whatever.
Yeah, like, and you find out that her dad's missing, and she has to go find her dad, and that's why she ends up out there. And but then once she gets there, like, it's a fun action adventure movie. I think somebody compared it to Rambo, because she's running around with like a bow and arrow for a lot of it. And but as somebody that likes those games, and like, I found this perfectly watchable. It's perfectly enjoyable. It's not great. It's not something you need to rush out and see in the theater. I think it probably plays perfectly fine watching it on like a DVD or Blu-ray at home.
I'm actually looking forward to it. I guess I one thing I want to ask before we get to your score, and you know what's coming from me, Walton Goggins. How is he in it?
He's good. I
He
mean,
chewing up scenery?
he's a little more reserved here. He
Okay.
definitely chews up some shit at the end where he kind of goes a little off, but he plays a good villain. He's almost always great in everything though. So,
He's underappreciated, I think. Like,
yeah, he's very well utilized here. He plays a good foil for Lara. Daniel Wu plays her friend in this. He is if you watch Into the Badlands, I think he's in that. Which is it's a TV show on AMC, but martial arts focused, and he's pretty good in it. That's one thing I will say that I kind of missed about that I didn't really like about their take here is that the new Tomb Raider movies have kind of been about not just her, but also like that she has friends and she has a support group with her in a lot of cases, especially in that first game. And they kind of like abandon that because you're trying to fit all that into 2 hours. So you don't want to be introducing like seven or eight different characters that are kind of there with her. But it does kind of detract a little bit from it because that's such an important part of that first game, at least.
That first reboot.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like dealing with like, with her interactions and her actions and the effects they have on her friends, and then she has that very close relationship with her friend Sam in that game, and like Sam doesn't exist here, so but yeah, it's fun. It's perfectly fine.
I look forward to seeing it, and I look forward to playing the new Tomb Raider this fall.
Yeah,
So,
that's gonna be fun. But I'm gonna go with a three for
okay. I just want to touch on a few other like two other TV related things before we go.
sure.
One is there's a new show on HBO. The pilot just aired this last Sunday. It's called Barry, starring Bill Hader as a hitman who gets an assignment, goes out to like do his assignment, and ends up falling in love. And so it's a half hour dark comedy about a hitman who like wants out of his old life, wants to start a new life, and he might not be able to do that quite so easily since it's not the type of job you just quit. I really liked it. The show is getting like a lot of positive buzz from critics who have seen obviously more episodes than I have. I just saw the pilot. I thought the pilot was really strong. Surprised by Bill Hader a little bit because I really only know him from SNL, like playing Stefan or something on there. He's pretty good in this, and the show. Despite it being like a dark comedy, it really feels like it might have an edge to it because the way the pilot ends is with like a very sudden burst of violence where you're like, okay, so this is not just like a comedy trying to play around in a darker world. Like it might go there sometimes with the violence. And like it if you watch it, you'll know what I'm saying, but it's just like it's not like gory or anything like that. It's just like very blunt, matter-of-fact violence that happens near the end of the first episode, where you're like, okay, all right. And like by the end of that first episode, I'm like kind of on board. I like the whole concept of it. It's like this guy who, oh yeah, the other thing is like his assignment is like in Hollywood, and like the persons he's going after is like a wannabe actor, and like everyone there is like a wannabe actor. So he's like pretending to be a wannabe actor too, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're so great! You could like really do this." And that's like when he decides, like, "I want to be an actor." Like, and so it's like this whole like Hollywood, LA, like wannabe actor thing going on in it as well. It's a fun time, Chris. The first episode is probably 28 minutes. I'd say check it out.
All right.
It's something like new to watch on Sunday night. Like airs right before Last Week Tonight. So
Okay.
I actually, I've only seen the first episode, but I would highly recommend people check it out. I also got to see the much talked about and watched by most everybody reboot of Roseanne, Chris.
Yeah.
You a Roseanne fan?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Like I remember it fondly. Let's put it that way. I'm not like somebody that like will go back and watch it over and over again. Also, I have some major reservations about because she has turned in like I don't know if she was like a garbage human beforehand, but
I
is
don't
very much so
know.
now.
But yeah, here's the thing. I went into it with an open mind. I'm not like I'm like you. I remember watching Roseanne as a kid, okay? I'm not like a super fan of it. I don't remember how it ended. Like, I wasn't one of the people like watching the finale of it. It's if you grew up when you and I did, Roseanne was like a staple. Like it was like the Cosby Show or
Yeah.
any, it was just a big sitcom that like everybody watched. I don't think, but it's not like Seinfeld where I like really think about like Seinfeld. I'm like, man, that show was just brilliant, it was a good sitcom that followed like regular working class people from the part of the country kind of where you and I live, like the middle America shit. So I mostly went into watching this with like a just curious, like what is this gonna be? It's been 20 years since the finale, or like 21 years or something like that. Then on top of it, you have the whole like angle where apparently she's like nuts now.
Yeah, very much so.
This is pretty complicated because like I am the type of person who says I can separate the person from what they're putting out, and I can watch what they put out and judge that, right? And that's what I did with this, and I watched it, and I'm like, it's okay. And they addressed in the first episode, because in real life she's a Trump supporter, and in the show she's a Trump supporter too now. And they address that in the first episode, and it's like a big part of the plot of the first episode where her and her sister Jackie have not spoken in a year, really, because of the fact that she voted for Trump. And they joke back and forth. There's Hillary jokes, there's Trump jokes. There's a part where her sister comes over and she confronts her about it, and Roseanne says, "Well, Trump was talking about jobs, you know." And in case you haven't noticed, over the last 20 years, like things have not been real great here. And Jackie, her sister's like, "I don't know if in case you've noticed over the last year, but things have only gotten worse." To which Roseanne replies, "Not if you watch the real news." It's like I'm watching it and I'm going, "This is all kind of like fluff, and it's not." It's not pro Trump. It's not anti-Hillary. I mean, yes, like they make jokes against both of them. It's kind of down the middle, and I'm sitting there going, you know what? This is actual America. Like, there's people that you will know, in if not your immediate family, your extended family, who voted for Trump, and it's like
Yeah.
a thing that people are dealing with. So I'm like, maybe this isn't all bad. Maybe this show could be like a healing sort of thing. And there are like progressive ideas in the show too, like God, I can't remember Darlene's kid in it. He likes to dress in girls' clothes, and like that's a whole plot of the second episode. They actually aired the first two episodes
Okay.
the other night, and and the message is, hey man, whatever you want to do, you do, and if people are gonna judge you for it, fuck them. I'm like, that's all right. That's not a bad thing. Thing I didn't know, and now I have real trouble, and like my girlfriend wants to keep watching it. She is actually a bigger fan of Roseanne than I am, and she's like doesn't really care about politics that much. But the thing I've realized or found out since is like she's not just a Trump supporter in real life. like she's a whack job.
Yeah, which I always knew she was off. Like that's what I remember about her. Like it, outside of the TV show, was that she was kind of fucking crazy.
But she used to be like the liberal kind of crazy. At least that's how I remember it. Like she was just kind of a rebel, and
Yeah,
I
she
remember she
was
went and sang
kind
the
of like.
national anthem. She was like grabbing her crotch while she's singing the national anthem and shit like that. Like,
Yeah, and she's definitely like taken a turn to the like other side of crazy.
yeah, and like, I am a person that says I can watch someone's art and I can separate this and that, but like, not when I read today that she's like attacking the students from Parkland, like that kind of shit. I don't care about differences in politics. You don't attack fucking students who survived the mass shooting, in my opinion. Like it's just,
Yeah.
I just think I feel like it's a line you don't cross. And finding out that like she's like doing shit on Twitter like that, like currently, makes me really not want to support that show at all. Like I think it's a perfectly fine reboot of the show, and I think like, you know, it's interesting as a curiosity. I'll be interested to see, like, because it was a massive ratings hit. I'll be interested to see if people stick around week to week, or if it just fucking drops off after that first week.
Right.
After the novelty has worn off, and you're going, okay, now we're just watching New Roseanne 20 years later. I don't know. Like I said, the whole thing is weird. It's a curiosity, but like, I have trouble. Like the show itself, I feel like is pretty innocuous, but it also could play a role in kind of normalizing Trump voters and making them like, I'm sorry, I think if someone voted for Trump, maybe I could see that. But if you still support that guy, it's hard for me to respect.
Yeah, I
He's
don't
a
know
terrible
how,
human being, you know.
I could fully see, like, I don't necessarily agree with it, but yeah, like if you want to make that argument that you said Roseanne
Oh, he was
makes,
talking about jobs. Yeah, like I
yeah,
could see
like
that. A lot of
fine.
people said that, but guess what? We've had like 2 years now to judge him
But
beyond that,
yeah,
and we've seen him.
but Jackie's response is like the reality of it. Like shit's gone worse since then. So
Yeah.
like those jobs that he promised, they're not coming back. And not only like is the world around us a shit show, but he's like made things worse for like other people as well. So
Yeah, he has. And you know, on top of that, he degrades the office every day to the point where it's like the presidency is a joke now. Like you know, there's been bad presidents before. People made fun of Bush, but Bush didn't go on fucking Twitter and start fights with people. And you know what I mean? Like it's just he does
right.
stuff that's well below the dignity of that office, like in the importance of that office on a daily basis. He's just degrading it day in and day out. Or it's like he's doing damage is gonna probably take the rest of our lifetime to fix,
Yes.
and it's not funny to me. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, and every day you're kind of like, man, I hope he doesn't like actually fuck up something royally today.
yeah.
Like every day, it's like you just hold your breath, hoping that he doesn't make something worse for somebody.
I literally, I mean, and I'm gonna be honest, I open Twitter every day, hoping that I saw that he's like getting impeached or he died or something. Like I'm dead serious. I'm just like, please, when does this end?
Yeah, so it's like
It's not happening
a never waking nightmare.
yet.
All right, well,
So I
maybe
don't know
I'll
what to
check
say
out the
about
show.
it.
I don't know. I am kind of like exactly where you are with her. Like, I don't want to support somebody that is that kind of a person.
Yeah, like you know, like we've talked about this subject many times. Like I said, like I usually could separate it, and I could usually go, that's fine. Maybe the person did something bad in real life, but like this is a person who I would be supporting her show, and she actively goes on Twitter and calls kids crisis actors. She doesn't believe 9/11 was real. Like she's fucking nuts. And fuck that. There's better people with support out there. You know what I mean? Like.
Right, and she's somebody that has the means to get better. Like there are plenty of people that
Yeah.
are crazy that just, you know, they're crazy.
Yeah.
They
Yeah,
don't
no
have the money.
excuse.
They don't have the ability to go and, you know, get help, but she doesn't seem to be getting help. She seems to be getting worse. So.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, maybe the show will be decent. I probably will end up seeing more episodes because my girlfriend really likes it, but I can't sit there and recommend people go like support her when, first of all, she's getting all the ratings she needed this week, so.
Right.
But yeah, on top of it, just I'm sorry, man. Like someone that engages in conspiracy theories and calls victims of mass shooting like actors or not. She called the one kid a Nazi or something on Twitter today or the day before. I'm just like, okay,
Yeah.
no. So there is your toxic shit. It's not in Ready Player One. It's in Roseanne Barr's mouth. I think that's it for this week, right?
Yeah, I think that's everything.
Okay. I don't know what for sure what I'll have for next week. I will have the movie Stronger, which I've had for over a week now.
All right.
I will have Jumanji, which there was a big mix-up with my Netflix discs, and I finally got it today. I actually got two copies of it today. Other than that, I can't tell you. Oh, the one other thing I think I know I will have for sure is a new Netflix documentary series called Wild, Wild Country.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriends are two episodes into it out of six, and I don't really want to get into it until I've seen it all, but I've heard really good things, and so far it is really interesting.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's it. Come back next week. Thanks for listening.
Movie dudes.
Movie dudes. Do 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 do.